What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today. It's Francisco Rojas. Second episode for me of the new year. Happy 2026. Hope your holidays went well. I know mine did. And a lot, actually, good amount to get to on the episode today. I'm going to continue. I did top five catchers in Phillies history. I did that about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. So if you want to check that episode out, you can go check that one out, as well as all the other episodes that we do here for the channel. Ken Rosenthal, a report. He did a report on every team, you know, what he's hearing on every team up to date to this point. What he's hearing on the Phillies and who he's hearing that the Phils on JT Realmuto, and as well as maybe an outfield platoon partner for Brandon Marsh. Just stay up to, we'll get to that. Also, Baseball Hall of Fame tracker, Ryan Thibodeau, who does the Hall of Fame tracker updates, or he does the Hall of Fame tracker for all the ballots, the ones that become public from writers that make theirs public. He does a tracker, and interesting update on somebody who, I mean, we'll get to it. Somebody who I thought could make a jump this year, but he made a huge leap, at least so far we know from the public ballot. So we'll get to that. And like I mentioned, my top five first baseman in Phillies history after I did my top five catchers, we'll do top five first baseman. But first things first, Phillies hired Don Mattingly. So they have their new bench coach. We figured that this was coming. It was, you know, during the winter meetings, it was reported that it was probably going to happen. It was in the talks, but it was never official. And now it's official. So Don Mattingly hired as the bench coach. I think it's an exciting thing. I mean, I'm not really like super into bench coach hirings, but I think this is an exciting one, just considering who it is. Don Mattingly, the father of Preston Mattingly, and Don Mattingly, obviously a Yankee great when he played. So, question that I wanted to ask today to start the show, it pertains to JT Realmuto, and I've been thinking about this because there's a report out there that JT might want a fourth year. Ken Rosenthal still, he did a report today, and he said one of these days the Phillies will get a resolution on free agent catcher JT Realmuto. A reunion still appears the most likely outcome unless the Phillies want to trade for a catcher such as Minnesota's Ryan Jeffers or sign a free agent such as Victor Caratini. And there was also the report that John Heyman said that the Phillies are among a number of big market teams to have interest in Bo Bichette, an ultra-young free agent. Yanks, Cubs, Dodgers, Red Sox, and incumbent Jays too. Bichette is the only player to hit 300 versus fastballs, breaking balls, and also changeups slash splits. And here's where I'm at, because there's been the talk about how much you're going to give JT versus are the Phillies actually interested in a Bregman or a Bichette. And I think I speak for most of us. I think most people would love to, and I'm speaking for myself too, I would love to re-sign JT on like a 2 or 3 year deal. Obviously, I would love for it to be a 2 year deal, but I think he'd probably get a three year deal in the end. I would love to re-sign JT and then sign either Alex Bregman or Bo Bichette. I would prefer Bichette because he's younger. I prefer just straight up because he's younger. I really like Bregman too, but older player. Now, he's not old, but he's an older player. Would you, if it were up to you, or not if it were up to you, if it was going to go one way or the other, either the Phillies sign JT, but don't sign Bregman and Bichette, or Bichette, I would love both. It was either you have to pick JT or Bregman or Bichette. Would you be willing to let JT walk and trade for somebody like Ryan Jeffers or sign somebody like Victor Caratini, which isn't great, but still, what would you rather do? And I think I'm at this point where I'm kind of accepting the fact that they're probably going to just do one or the other, right? It's either they're either going to sign JT and probably not sign Bregman or Bichette. Or I think they'll let JT walk and they'll sign a Bregman or Bichette. I think so. I'm not 100% sure on that. But it doesn't sound like the Phillies, especially coming when it comes to Dave Dombrowski off seasons, I don't think that feels like something that they would do. They would sign JT plus sign one of those big name free agents. And, you know, Dave Dombrowski and his exit presser a couple of months ago that kind of alluded to they wouldn't really sign a big name free agent to a multi-year deal. But maybe if they let JT walk, they'll sign one of those guys. What would you rather do? Like, would you be willing to let JT walk to sign either Bregman or Bichette? Because I'll be honest, like, at this point, I am. I'm willing to let JT Realmuto walk if that means signing an Alex Bregman or a Bichette. Couple of reasons. First one, I mean, JT's offensive numbers, this has been, you know, beaten into the ground, you know, last 3-4 months. Like, JT's offensive numbers have declined the last couple of years, and he's just getting older in general. I mean, he's 34 years old at this point. He's 34. He's going to be, I mean, I think he's going to be, it's going to be March 18th. So by the time opening day comes, JT's going to be 35 years old. So, and I think it's likely he does get a three-year deal. I think it's likely that that happens. Could there be a two-year world where he only gets a two-year deal? Maybe, depending on the AAV. But, I mean, JT's getting older. And the offensive numbers have been in line with his age the last couple of seasons as he's gotten older. Yes, he hit 20 home runs in 2023, but he had his lowest OPS since he has been with the Phillies. You know, going from 2023, and his OPS has only gotten lower. It's 762 in 2023, 751 in 2024, and then this past year, it was not even league average. It was 700. So it's only gotten lower, and he's only, the offensive numbers have only dipped lower and lower. His home run totals the last couple of years only gotten lower. 14 and 12 home runs, the lowest he's hit year outside of the COVID year that we're not going to count. That hit 11 home runs in 47 games, but you know, he was on track that year to hit somewhere around probably 20 or more home runs, and he had an 840 OPS that year too. So he was a good catcher. He was a good offensive catcher. The numbers have just been declining and declining. And so that's reason number one. And then reason number two, the lineup right now, even if you bring JT back, man, it's just, oh, and I've talked about this, you know, the last, like, especially as the Phillies are talking about, like, oh yeah, like we're good to go in the outfield and we're good to go infield wise outside of signing JT. I mean, you look up and down this lineup, man. Like, the only guys like you really feel good about are Trey and Schwarber for the most part. And then Bryce, maybe he comes back and has a really good season after this whole not elite Dombrowski thing. But then Alec Bohm, your cleanup hitter. Brandon Marsh cannot hit left-handed hitting or pitching. And Marsh has kind of been up and down since he's been here. I think he's maybe is a little better than people give him credit for, but he's locked into the five hole right now, according to Fangraphs. Adolis Garcia, we'll see. I'm hoping that Garcia, I've kind of, like, I like the signing, but that was if they get Bregman or Bichette. And then Stott, Marshawn, and Crawford. It's just a lot of, I mean, I don't love the bottom of that lineup there. Crawford, we don't know yet. Stott's been, you know, I think his ceiling has been reached. I think he's just probably an average hitter at best. I mean, that's the bottom of your lineup. I mean, Bohm, Marsh, Garcia, the middle of the lineup there, it's just an okay lineup with the potential to be maybe a good lineup. I'm willing to let JT walk to get that offense that you need from a Bregman or a Bichette. I think I'm willing with that at this point. The rotation's good. The bullpen is solid, I think, to maybe good. I think you really got to step it up with the lineup here, man, and sign a Bregman or a Bichette. I think I'm really willing to let JT walk at this point. So that's kind of where I am on the JT situation. I think JT is just, in a perfect world, I would love to re-sign JT and then sign a Bregman or a Bichette. That's really in a perfect world. But it doesn't feel like the Phillies, after they'd re-signed a JT, that they'd go out and sign one of those guys. Maybe they have interest, but not enough interest, especially when Heyman's talking about the Yankees, Cubs, Dodgers, and Red Sox, and plus the Blue Jays too, where I still think Bichette probably ends up a Blue Jay still. There's just a lot of teams there, and they're going to be in play for him. I don't know, though, man. Like, I would just, I think I'd let JT walk and go get one of those guys. So that's kind of where I am right now on the whole JT situation, just because of now that with this report that the Phillies, you know, do have interest in Bo Bichette, according to John Heyman. And according to Ken Rosenthal, like I mentioned before, he talked about the JT thing, saying, you know, that a reunion still appears likely to be the most likely outcome. But also he mentioned that according to him, the Phillies could use a right-handed bat to platoon in left field with Brandon Marsh, and Randall Grichuk is among those in whom they are showing interest. Signing Bregman, Bichette, or Tucker likely will be possible only if the market for one of those players collapses, which seems doubtful. So right there, too, according to Rosenthal, that Bregman, Bichette, I didn't really think they ever had a shot at Tucker, but only if the market for those players collapses, which seems doubtful, which is not great to hear. It's not great to hear after, I mean, look, I still want a Bregman or a Bichette, but it's not great to hear from Rosenthal. Also, Randall Grichuk, that's fine. I mean, Grichuk's a decent defender. He's had really good offensive seasons in the past. He had a 31 homer season, but that was like 2019. That was literally 7 years ago. Grichuk can be, a decent bat. I'm okay with that. I really would have liked Ref Snyder, to be honest, just considering how he hits left-handed pitching. But I guess I wouldn't be mad at Grichuk too. I mean, he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 seasons with at least 20 or more homers, but he hasn't done that since 2021. 2022 for Colorado, he had 19 homers. He had a 139 OPS plus for Arizona in 2024. 2025, he played for both Arizona and Kansas City, and ended the year with a 674 OPS. So not great, but I guess you're just looking for a platoon partner out there. I really would have liked Ref Snyder, but I don't know. Maybe Grichuk's a guy to look at. I don't know. It just don't feel like amazing about the Phillies offseason right now. So that's the update for you on from Ken Rosenthal. I wanted to do a Baseball Hall of Fame tracker update too. And this is obviously an end all be all. Usually, like, when it comes to these percentages and then the last outcome, when we actually see the results, they're off a little bit, but it's cool to see. So Ryan Thibodeau does his Baseball Hall of Fame tracker, and you can find this at bbhoftracker.com. And right now, I thought it was really interesting, man. Chase Utley at 65.3%. You need 75% to be enshrined. Chase Utley's at 65.3%. Curious to know where that's... I mean, if Utley ends up with that number in year three, man, I mean, I think it would almost like feel like a slam dunk that Chase would get in the Hall of Fame. Now, I've told you, I think Chase just misses the mark for me, but wow, that's a pretty big update for Chase. 65%, Bobby Abreu, 39.5%, Cole Hamels debuting at 30.6% so far. Again, this is only from 29% of ballots known so far, 118 public ballots. So that's not like obviously a whole lot. There's like, what, 500 ballots somewhere, 400 to 500. That it ends up being. And Jimmy Rollins is 28.2%. But find it interesting that Cole is 31% almost and Chase at 65%. I think those are interesting numbers. But again, it's a weak ballot. So we'll see in a year like 2026 where weak ballot maybe shouldn't be a surprise to me, but Chase 65%, it is interesting. So yeah, that's the Baseball Hall of Fame tracker update for you on four of the Phillies that are on the ballot. Now, I did top five catchers in Phillies history last time. Now I want to do top five first basemen in Phillies history. It actually is more loaded than you think, I think. But this is my five. So, the fifth one was really like a toss-up between like guys that I never watched play. to be honest. There was like Fred Lutaris, I think that's how you say his name. And there were some other players too. But I came to Dolph Camilli, who played in the 30s for the Phillies, at like the mid to late 30s. And then he ended up like finishing his career the last like 6-7 years with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And going Dolph Camilli, though, he did have 35 through 37. He hit at least 25 homers for three straight seasons. Had some down ballot MVP votes, led the National League in on base percentage in 1937, and had some years some where the his OPS was higher than 1,000. So I will give Dolph Camilli the number 5 spot. 1 through 4. 4 is somebody who didn't spend a whole lot of time here, but considering I think how much of an impact he had on the Phillies organization in the early 2000s. And he did have two great years here, hitting over 40 home runs. I'm giving Jim Thome the number 4 spot. In 2003, in the last year of the vet, hit 47 home runs and had over 111 walks, finished top 5 in MVP voting. And what was big for the franchise when the franchise didn't really have too much going on in the early 2000s, like, you know, Roland left, and then it's really not too much going on for the Phils. You know, it'd been almost a decade of losing. Thome was like a bit of a bright spot. And then 2004, he had over 40 home runs and hit his 400th home run with the Phils. So had a really good year. And then 2005, he was hurt, I think, for most of the year. He only played 59 games. And yeah, it was unfortunate. And then went to the White Sox, and then came back to the Phils in 2012, and but only played 30 games with the Phils that year. But I think his impact early on for those early 2000s, and then having two pretty good years there, I think I'm going to give Thome the 4 spot. Number 3, going John Kruk. Kruk, not necessarily a huge power hitter, had 1 year where he had 21 home runs, but what was one of the faces of those 93 team, of the 93 team, was a very disciplined hitter, though, and got on base a lot. Again, wasn't like a super, it wasn't hitting like, you know, 40 homers a year, but did hit, you know, had around a 300 average couple of years with the Phils, or like 4 or 5 years with the Phils, and then had his on base percentage for his career with the Phillies was 400 exactly, and then had an 861 OPS for his career with the Phillies too. So I'm giving John Kruk the 3rd spot. Number 2, and I don't know if this is controversial or not, but I am curious. I'm going Rhys Hoskins number 2, and I know some of his career he played left field with the Phillies, but most of his career, he played with first base with the Phils. I think he played at least 75% of his games at first base, maybe a little bit of DH here and there. But I think he was mostly remembered for being a first baseman. And unfortunately, that last year in 2023, didn't even play because he was hurt, tore his ACL, right? It was either his ACL or Achilles. I'm pretty sure it was the ACL, but I don't remember exactly. And hurt in spring training, was out for the year. But all those other years, man, I mean, look, came up in 2017 and hit 18 homers in 50 games, and then hit, you know, 34 homers in his first full year, and, you know, walked a good amount as well. Led the National League in walks in 2019 with 116, and then was like consistently a guy that gave you around 30 home runs and gave you an over an 800 OPS. And I know Rhys got a lot of flack here, especially early on. And, you know, I think he really got a good appreciation after the bat slam in 2022 and, you know, kind of what he meant to Phillies fans after that. And unfortunately, again, 2023, wasn't able to play. But I got to give Rhys number 2 just because I think he put up consistent numbers here. And even in the 2021 year when he played 107 games, he still hit 27 homers. So I think Reese was somebody still a tiny bit underappreciated, but I think it was appreciated enough at the end for the bat slam and everything like that. But he had the iconic bat slam moment in the playoffs and then hit somewhere around 30 home runs, you know, for averaged, you know, that for his, what, like six seasons that he was here. His per 162 game average with the Phils for his career was 36 home runs. So pretty good. And about 94 walks. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I think Reese comes in at number two for me. And then number one is pretty obvious. It's Ryan Howard. Howard, there doesn't really, not too much that needs to be said about Ryan Howard. His prime was one of the more underrated primes, I think, in Major League Baseball history, especially as a power hitter. I think as a power hitter, one of the more underrated primes, what he did in the late 2000s, maybe a little overshadowed by guys like Pujols and guys like that. But I think Ryan Howard deserves to be number one on this list. 58 homers, 149 RBI for the MVP year in 06, and then 47, 48, 45 home runs in 09, and then 2010 and 2011. Not quite those power numbers, but still good years with 30 homers, over 100 RBI, and OPS plus is around 126 and 127, and still finished top 10 in MVP voting. So I'd give Ryan Howard the number one spot. I think he's, for his prime and his peak as a Philly in the late 2000s, I think that's kind of just speaks for itself for Ryan Howard to be number one. Also, real quick around Major League Baseball, the Blue Jays signed Kazuma Okamoto to a 4-year, $60 million deal. And then also got a $5 million signing bonus and will have no opt-outs. One of the bigger Japanese signings of the offseason, so far at least. You had Imai and you also had Murakami. So now you have Okamoto off the board. And question maybe if the Phillies could have traded Boma, got somebody like Okamoto and just at least tried going somewhere in a different direction. You know, Okamoto being one of the bigger Japanese stars. Maybe that's a direction you could have gone, but they didn't. And Okamoto signs with the Blue Jays. He is their third baseman now. So that will do it for today's episode of Phillies Today. You can follow me on Twitter at @Rojas_media_. Give me your thoughts on everything that I talked about today. JT walking. Would you let JT walk to sign Bregman or Bichette? Or are you really set on signing JT? I am curious. And then the top five first basemen in Phillies history. Anybody I missed on the list? Or is there another way you would re-rank this? Let me know. So that's going to do it for me, Francisco Rojas. I'll talk to you guys soon.